Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There has been a swelling cry against the pulpits and those who occupy them to become more attuned to what some have designated as to be the real issues of our day, the real needs of our time. This charge is leveled that churches generally have neglected their duty to keep abreast with the times, and they're too busy answering questions that nobody is asking, talking about matters that are irrelevant or no real concern. In papers, magazines, religious and secular, on television and radio, we hear the plea, give us something practical. People want something that will solve their problems of the here and now. Well, there is no question that mankind has many problems. Many face unemployment, inadequate housing, the threat and the reality of war, prejudice, drugs, social injustices of one sort or another, racial discrimination, hypocrisy, riots, ignorance, disease, pollutions of various sorts. Oh, the list of problems can be extended. And the magnitude of these problems has overwhelmed many into turning to the proclamation of what is called a social gospel, as if the mission of Jesus Christ to this earth was to provide a remedy for the mundane and materialistic matters of this world. The burdens of life have provoked many to turn away from the spiritual message of salvation from sin and forgiveness and redemption, having the right relationship with God, the church, their concern for heaven and hell in the next life. These things are called impractical. They're called irrelevant. Now, we would have to agree that the messages coming from many pulpits today do not relate to the real needs of mankind at all, but they are not in the way that the critic have often thought. Most people do not seem to be aware of the real need of mankind and the cause of so many of his problems, and they seem to be totally ignorant of the solution of his real need. And as to those temporal and earthly needs which some have become so concerned about, they are actually of secondary importance. Some have embarked upon a crusade of social reform and material relief without changing the heart of the people. Some preach a health and wealth gospel, as if Christ died to make everybody healthy and wealthy. Why, you would be led to believe that Jesus went to the cross for environmental improvement and physical provisions. For those who so think have become the doctors of symptoms rather than dealing with the real cause and cure of the needs of mankind here and in the hereafter. And even some in the Lord's church have been overtaken by this approach to where they've abandoned the mission and the message of Christ, and they're busy emphasizing the beneficial byproducts of Christianity to the neglect of the heart of the religion of Jesus Christ. Even some brethren are active in taking the church into recreational provisions and entertainments, a food, fun, and frolic kind of emphasis. Some have even gone so far as to involve the church in political matters to the extent that the church becomes not much more than a pressure group on politicians, or leaders in social revolutions, or similar movements as that. Now, true Christians will be concerned with the general state of things here on earth. It is practical and relevant to be concerned about the ills that beset the human family. But is it not more practical to be concerned with the cause of these problems and the real issues of life? Are these issues jobs and houses and money and clean air and such as that? Nothing is more practical than an understanding of when and how and where the solution to the ills of mankind really are. The problems of mankind, their cause and cure, are primarily spiritual in nature, dear friend, not physical. These problems often manifest themselves in physical distress, but they are issues of the heart. So much that wreaks havoc in our world stems from the spiritual degeneracy of people and comes from the decay of moral principles that Christ has taught. Now, we may patch and we may bandage the physical forever, but no solution will be found apart from spiritual regeneration. For a long time, many people, and even leading religionists, have scoffed at what they call doctrine. They have decreed that doctrine does not really matter. They would have us all believe that what you believe is not really that important. Now, isn't that strange? They are very concerned that you believe what they want you to believe, but what you want to believe, or what God says for you to believe, that doesn't really matter much. Any philosophy that contradicts itself is not worthy of being accepted. Rather than doctrine, they urge that we preach something practical. After all, according to these social gospel advocates, one doctrine is as good as another. But they're very insistent that you accept their doctrine, that doctrine doesn't matter. But standing upon the Word of God as our authority, we must contend and insist that Christianity is practical, the most practical doctrine that men have ever heard. Christianity deals with every phase of life, including problems. It is doctrinal in nature, governing man's existence from the cradle to the grave and into the world beyond. But to be practical, it means that which is usable and capable of being profitable. And inasmuch as sin is at the root of man's problems, what could be more practical than dealing with sin? Now, 1 John 3 and verse 4 tells us, sin is a violation of God's law. Sin has always buried man beneath havoc and confusion and frustration and hopelessness, fear, distress, and ruin. Some prefer to dismiss this fundamental truth about the existence of man and the existence of sin, but they can neither prove it incorrect nor have an alternative explanation for its validity. They just do not like the doctrine that says that man is accountable to God. They want to do whatever they wish to do without the consequences of their actions, without being accountable for their thoughts and for their deeds. Everything is acceptable to some, and yet so much of what people do brings them shame and disgrace and heaps problems on top of problems. And so we must ask, what is more practical than the forgiveness of sins? What is more practical than providing hope for the hopeless? What is more practical than giving meaning to life? What is more practical than for the lost to be found? What can one suggest that would benefit mankind more than the solutions to the threats against the home, against the young, against the old? Since spiritual contamination and spiritual death is the worst enemy man has, what is more practical than victory over such as that? Is there anything more useful than the escape from hell and the entrance into heaven? What is nobler than fulfilling life's duties? What can be more beneficial than avoiding the pitfalls and preventing the problems? But without submission to the will of the authority that is higher than man, people will never do better, they'll never be better, they'll never make any real improvement. But all these things are the result of conformity to doctrine, God's laws. By conformity to His laws, the heart of a person is converted and changed, and this results in a better way of living. Man cannot live by the material bread of this life. He must have the spiritual food that comes from God. History has shown that man is not capable of directing his own steps. Man's worst disease is sin, and the blood of Christ is its cure. We cannot meet and overcome the problems of this life, let alone meet the challenges of the next, without the right relationship with God. And that relationship is attained by doctrinal considerations. Nothing is more practical than that which accomplishes that relationship between man and God that is acceptable before God. People do not improve until their mind is improved. And our lot in life will not improve until we improve our life. The matters of the here and now with which some are so totally concerned become better when people provide for the hereafter. And until they consider the hereafter, nothing in this life has any real meaning or significance. Until there is a recognition of God and His way, our existence is nothing. It ends only in the grave and for no purpose. Nobody that pays attention to the world in which he lives doubts that it needs healing. The principle of 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14 certainly abides. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If someone really wants to do something about the havoc in the world, if he is truly serious about making things better here on earth, let him devote himself and encourage those around him to conform to the ways of God. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but the transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Proverbs 11 and verse 6. When people cry out today, give us something practical, something relevant to our times and our needs and our problems, there is nothing better to offer than the words of Christ, ye must be born again. To have a better world, we must have better people. And it begins in the heart. And this is what the doctrine of Christ provides. The conversion that mankind needs is produced by the Word of God. Psalms 19 and verse 7. Friend, the most practical message that men can hear is the gospel, its facts, its commands, and its promises. Nothing is more beneficial than to learn how to apply the blood of Christ to the sin-stained heart. The beginning of a better world is a saved person that respects God. And when one respects God, he will respect morality. He'll respect his neighbor. He'll respect his duties. And while the humanist and the materialist and the atheist and the social gospel-like proclaimers are running about denouncing the Lord's prescription and the Lord's remedy, they offer nothing better than a Band-Aid on a cancer. They scoff at the only solution and the only practical answer that does exist. Following Christ, respecting his authority and his doctrine in one's life will produce good. People will have self-respect. They'll learn to work. They'll not be willing to be parasites upon their neighbors. Those in need will find provision from others who follow Christ, because caring for those who cannot care for themselves is a part of New Testament Christianity. Taking drugs that destroy the body and the mind will be eliminated when all people conform to the doctrine of Christ that the body is the temple of the Lord. Prejudices will melt when people practice the Lord's golden rule. War will not exist if more and more people will insist upon loving their neighbor rather than killing them. Ignorance, poverty, hypocrisy, they all find their cures in pure hearts. Love without dissimulation and pretense, seeking the other's highest good. Hate can only be driven out with love. Is that not the doctrine of Christ? Sin can be replaced with righteousness. Despair can be dispelled with hope. And doubt can be replaced with confidence. What else can produce such a thing as this except conversion to Jesus Christ? What could possibly be more practical? Down through the ages, men have followed first one theme and then another. All the various philosophies of men have crashed against the rocks of failure because they are human and therefore limited. And they are therefore fallible. But the will of God for man has in the past, it does now when applied, produce that which man needs the most, spiritual regeneration, and an abundant life here, and the assurance and hope of eternal happiness and blessedness with God for eternity can be his when he follows the will of God. What could possibly be more practical than the doctrine that produces this for humankind? Adhering to doctrine will cause one to obey the gospel in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. Adhering to doctrine will cause one to live righteously toward others and toward God. Adherence to gospel, to the doctrine of Christ, it will prevent the apostasy and the falling away which some experience. It will avoid the innovations and the substitutions and the counterfeits that men sometimes put forward, because every spiritual blessing is in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. What mankind needs is spiritual regeneration. It is out of the heart that come the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. And when the heart is right, the person will be right. And when the person is right, the world will be right. A father once gave his son a puzzle. When completed, it would be a map of the world. In an unexpected short time, the son had the puzzle completed and everything in its proper place. And the father was amazed and asked him how he was able to work things out so fast. The son replied, "There's a picture of a man on the other side. When you get the man straight, the world automatically becomes straight." As we call for something practical, we might do well to give that more thought, dear friend, and give respect to that which gets man straight, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.